Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Jim, thanks for reaching out. It was nice what you said about, you know, the combination of John Paul and I. And it sounds like you really just kind of found ITF fairly recently, and you've been consuming quite a lot of podcasts. I mean, not just mine, but you listen to Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero, Great Choice,
yep.
Astonishing Legends, all the ones that I also love to listen to. So thanks for reaching out.
After I heard you on Clyde's show, I'm like, I gotta start listening to her too. So I went from the very beginning and caught all the way up. And it's like, you know, when football season's over, what do? You know, like you're sitting there waiting for Friday to come. Come on, give me a new episode. But yeah.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And there's also something about John Paul. Obviously, a lot of people love when I bring JP on. And,
yes. You
know, what I said about him the very first time I talked to him is true, that when he emailed me, I'm like, Masters in Theological Studies. Am I going to be able to keep up with this human being when I bring him on, even though I love demony stuff and all that? I mean, Can I run a race with this guy? But he's so down to earth
that's why
he's a recidivist on ITF. So,
The other thing too, I'm a non-practicing Catholic, so from 16 years of age until about 10 years ago, I was also teaching religious ed, and I took a couple courses on angels and demons. So it wasn't like I'm just pulling this demon theory out of my butt. From what I went through with Amy, it kind of gave me a background on, oh, this probably was this, and I didn't find out until the end that it was a possible possession. So with John Paul being here, it makes me feel a little bit more legitimate with the experiences. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, and I also feel better having him on this. This is not a lighthearted story in any way, shape, or form, and I don't really want to preface it much as far as any kind of an intro per se, or kind of letting people know what's going to go down, because I just don't think that what I'm going to say is going to do it justice or be right to say. So I just kind of want to let you speak, and if JP and I have something to hop in with, we will. I mean, okay. You've sent along a little bit of a timeline, and I know the gist of what's gone on, and so does JP. But Jim, wherever you want to start with this, whatever needs to happen as far as setting it up, but the floor is yours.
Okay. So around about 2007, my first wife and I separated, and me and my three kids moved to Pittsburgh. And I was looking for stuff to do. I always had a background in the paranormal. If you want me back on with another show to talk about all the weird shite that's happened to me in my life, we can do that. It's up to you. All right. So about July 2008, I got bored and picked up the hobby of going out and doing ghost hunting with a group. I joined MUFON. And that particular tweeting racist MUFON guy was my state director, by the way. You know who we're talking about, Shannon?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So come along, my first investigation. I knew I was semi-sensitive, but it really hit me during the first investigation. Because I'm walking around this house, and we're in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, I start getting this feeling in the back of my head, a really bad headache. Well, I mentioned that to the other two people that I was investigating with, and they're like, "Ooh, we got to write this down." I'm like, "Why are we writing this down? I just got a headache." So I'm walking to the other side of the house, and I start getting the chest pains. And they're like, "Ooh, we can't tell you, but we're going to tell you later why this happened." So we leave, and I says, "Well, what the hell's going on?" They said, "Well, in that house, there was a guy that shot himself in the head and a guy that had a heart attack in the same spots in the kitchen." I'm like, "Well, you could have forewarned me before we went into this place." So all of this is kind of building up to the connection that her and I had. We met in November of 2009, and for fun, we listened to some of the EVPs I collected and the MUFON evidence. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but we were looking at some of the photos that I received, and we're looking at the big book of MUFON everything and that kind of thing. Shortly thereafter, she was deeply into numerology, where she would kind of plan out doing things based on the cards. Me, yes, I was into the weird stuff, but I didn't let that rule my life. She took a dowsing course with a pendulum, and that became a focus on sometimes, all right, I need to clear what's going on. I need to clear the bad energy with the pendulum before we go. That happened a couple times in our relationship. Why don't we hold off on moving because the cards aren't right? And, I let her be her because I loved her, About 2010, I created a different paranormal group because I kind of didn't see eye to eye with the group that I was in. So we got married July 22nd, 2010, and we moved down to West Virginia. Both of us wanted to own some land and get a few animals. Going to skip ahead to 2014. We had goats, we had chickens, we had two cows at that point. And I was up cleaning out our goat house. And we had too many schnauzers at the time, and we were looking to get an outside dog, who ended up becoming a big baby, and she's hang me right now chomping on a bone. Not much of an outside dog. But as I'm cleaning out the goat house and fixing the hay, she's on the phone getting Sadie. And she never told me the name of the dog. But as I'm cleaning this out, I start getting this blast of Sadie, Sadie, Sadie in my head. And I'm like, what the hell's a Sadie? You know, I'm looking around going at the goats, naming them off. But, you know, this whole Sadie thing getting put into my head was really strange. So I went back to the house. I said, could you tell me what the hell a Sadie is? And she goes, oh, my God, I was just so happy that we're getting this dog named Sadie. So that kind of showed the connection that we had. After a while, I'm a disabled veteran. I'm coming up on a 6-back surgery, and I started having trouble getting in and out of the house that we lived in. It was 15 steps to get up. We burned a lot of firewood because you don't want to pay the gas man. You want to short the man sometimes. So we moved to North Carolina, and I found out at that point that you could carry your groceries right into your house without having to climb 15 steps, and it was a great feeling. Her oldest son moved in with us, and our relationship started having some problems. I had a suicide attempt at that point, around about June of 18, and July 2nd, her and him moved out. So it was me, 3 dogs, and they were 2 of the more senior citizens. Around about October, my mother had lung cancer surgery, and she started chemo. Well, after the surgery, I started getting a feeling that mom didn't have too much longer, and I was waiting for a phone call. I didn't know why, and I started playing church songs. Periodically, I just go over to the computer and play the Song of St. Francis, or On Engel's Wings, or just, you know, crazy, just got an urge. Went over and started playing church songs. And then, around about the 4th of March, I was told I needed to have a resection done of my gut. And I decided, since her and her son were going to come in and take care of the two older dogs and Sadie, that in the meantime, I was going to have to put the 2 older dogs down, because one had bladder stones and the other one had dementia really bad. So I'm outside building a casket, and I'm thinking to myself, and I'm talking to God, asking, what am I here for? What am I doing? You know, you took away the best part of me. What's my next step? Next morning, I get a phone call that my mom actually passed away. So I went up to her, for the service, and something told me, you need the sigil of St. Michael tattoo. And I got that done. I put the 2 older dogs down on the 13th of that year. And then I went through my surgery with flying colors. And then all of a sudden, I had a gut rupture that put me in a hospital for roughly half a month. Now, I'm thinking, why is all this bad luck happening? So I moved back up with my dad, and because he had nobody and I was too far away from hospitals down here, she files for divorce. Well, that's no big deal. You know, I figured it was coming anyway. May as well go with it. So November of that year, I moved back. And I was basically seeing her once a month to pass off her check. And things started getting a little bit weird come March. She comes up to me for one of the checks, and we started talking about CERN with the theory that in 2012, when CERN started up, that there was a collision where our reality vanished. Did you hear that theory, Shannon?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And she says, well, I started talking to the pendulum about it, and it's true. And I'm like, well, that's very interesting. Then she says, I talked to your mom on the pendulum. And I'm like, oh, really? And I'm thinking, my mom probably would not have talked to you on the pendulum to begin with. You know, with that kind of thing, it's kind of like the Ouija board. You don't know who you're talking to.
Jimmy, I mean, were they close when your mom was still around?
No, not really, especially towards the end. There were several family arguments because of this, or just my family thought that I was, you know, not myself after I married her, when I was the same person I always been. Oh, it was really strange. So she comes over a couple days later, and we had the surprisingly a normal tryst, and she acted completely normal. The next day, things got strange. She comes over in a panic. Her eyes, her pupils are pinpoint, and she starts telling me that she believes she's a targeted individual. And I said, how do you know? She goes, I'm starting to have voices in my head. They're telling me that I had an implant done. When she was 2 years old, she had a brain tumor, and it was removed. And she said that when the tumor was removed, there was an implant put in. And she said, oh, by the way, your suicide attempt, there was an implant in you too. And you have an implant in you. And I'm like, okay, well, I got to start doing some research. So I contacted Clyde. I don't know if you remember Dr. John Hall being on Clyde's show that dealt with targeted individuals. I go to Dr. Hall's website, and he's talking about COVID. And there is no way to contact him, no contact information. I even went to the About page or Contact Us, and there is no personal email link to get a hold of him. I listened to the Confessionals with Tony Merkel. A couple of years ago, he had Sister Carrie Burner on. She was a targeted individual. I went to her website. Basically, at that point, there was nothing on her website, no contact information. Amy, on the other hand, contacted Stuart Swerdlow. Do you know about Stuart and the Montauk Project?
You might want to just touch on that kind of quickly.
Okay. The Montauk Project was basically in the 70s and 80s where they were kidnapping boys, or some were given over to the government in New York, and they were put through more or less Stranger Things was based on the Montauk Project. Stuart apparently was one of these boys. He was manipulated and was able to open up portholes and was able to see back into the past and into the future and different stuff like that. He has his own group now where Amy was contacting him. She had all his books. It just turned into a mess. And anybody I contacted, I couldn't get a hold of. Anybody, she was basing what she was going through by what Stuart was saying. So I went to bed that night, and I got up the next morning, and she was on a couch rocking back and forth, and her eyes were still pinpoint. And I went over to take my morning medicine, and I noticed one of my bottles of painkillers was empty. There were only two in it left. And I saw a note that said, they took me on my desk. I asked her, I said, what happened last night? She says, well, I tried to overdose. And I said, on what? She said, your painkillers. So I went back over and I looked at my bottles, and she took the last two and the bottle, but the other one was unopened. So I don't know whatever was in her head was making her think that she took more, because none of my other medicines from the VA were touched. No Tylenol was touched, nothing. So I said, you need to stay here for a while. So she was on a constant diet of sugar. She was on a constant diet of tea. And both her and I smoke, but she was constantly chain smoking one after the other. As she stayed longer, she started eating better. She started cutting out the sugar, going with a little bit more water. She was telling me that whatever was in her had her libido going like crazy. She started sleeping with an ice pack. Stuart told her, go ahead and sleep with something that was cast iron. So she was sleep. I had a little smoker box for the grill. She started sleeping with the ice pack between her legs and a smoker top between her legs. Several times she said, the voice said it was Satan. And she goes, I think it's joking around with me. And I says, well, okay, if you think they're joking around with you, I want to see something. So I have a Blessed Mother medallion over by the window. I said, come here, put out your hand and close your eyes. And I put the medallion in her hand. And I said, now close your hand. And she goes, oh, I know what this is. And I said, well, what is it? And she opened up her hand and looked at it. And she goes, that's that medal I gave you. I said, yeah. And I'm waiting for a reaction. I'm waiting for, like, Aldous Burns or something like that. Nothing happened. So I said, just give back. And I put it back over by the window. And she goes, hold on. The voice just told me, do you want to see it burn? And I was tempted at that point. I'm thinking, do I cause her pain to see if this thing is actually real? Or do I just let it go? Because I didn't know if I should tempt fate or not. Well, the issue was I was her psychological help. But she said the voice kept telling her that if she would go to the psych ward or she would go seek help, she would die. But if I was on a quest to see if it was a possession, because that way she would listen to a shaman or a priest or somebody of that nature. Do you get what I'm saying? It was a point at that time where I had to figure out what was going on. So the next day, she went to work, and I went up to the bathroom, and the dog just happened to go into the other room. All of a sudden, I heard something sound like it kicked the dog. She yipes, and she comes running out of the bedroom, and I was indisposed at the moment, so I couldn't get up and run and see what it was. The lights in the bathroom made a loud popping noise, like all of them, like the bulbs went out. But the light bulbs, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. The lights didn't dim in a room. It just made that popping noise, like everything went out. And the dog refused to go into the room at that point. So I didn't know what to think. I would periodically put little drops of holy water into her drink, and nothing would happen. Took off my serviceman's cross. I sent you a picture of that a while ago. She'd wore that thing for 2 or 3 weeks, and nothing happened. You know, I was expecting like her to start burning, yelling, screaming, nothing. And I just couldn't believe that I was getting absolutely nothing from this. This goes on until I decide enough was enough. And she's slowly getting better, but my energy is draining when she comes home. I would have plans because I would still want to move. With a divorce in North Carolina, you have to sell your house and split the proceeds 50-50. She's telling me she wants to stay here forever, and I couldn't actually do that because I knew if we stuck together, we would still have problems. So I would still have plans to work on projects around here. But she'd come home from work, and my energy would be completely zapped. I'd have to lay down and take a nap. And that went on from March until April, May timeframe. And I didn't want to say anything to her because I knew she would want to leave. But I wanted to be there to help her out no matter what happened. And I figured one day, after listening to John Paul, he said, anybody could do an exorcism. Well, I tried an exorcism. And the one that I printed out and didn't have the litany of saints that is usually done. Because the way I always thought about it, Easter Vigil Mass is basically an exorcism because they do the litany of saints. This one that I printed out did not have that. And as I'm doing the prayer, I'm halfway through, and she's saying, my stomach hurts really bad. Can we stop? And I says, no, we got to finish this. I get done with it, and there was no change. About the pupils, we could be in a dark room, and her eyes would be pinpoint. We could go into a light room, her eyes would be pinpoint. Constantly, no matter if we were inside, outside, her eyes were always pinpoint. So finally, about the 5th of May, I talked to her. I says, look, I'm having problems where you come home and I feel an energy drain. I need a slight break. I'm not telling you to leave permanently. You need me to come back. Because I saw the progress that she was making, the more time we spent, the more time we talked. We even tried doing the Lord's Prayer at one point, and we got about halfway through, and she stopped. And I'm thinking, okay, I got proof that there's something in her. You know, I thought we're going to be able to go ahead and figure this out. She'll be able to go to a priest, and we can find out. Because I wanted to get to a priest because they do a mental eval too. That was my main goal. She wouldn't have done a mental eval in the first place. But having somebody else do all of it together, she would have gone for. So we're doing the Lord's Prayer, and she paused, and I said, everything okay? And she says, I just forget the rest of it. So I helped her out, and we finished it, but there was no twitching, no real apprehension, no gagging, nothing like that. So back to the energy drain talk. She goes, okay, I'll go back to the trailer. Whenever you want me to come back, I says, no, if you need me, come back. You want to come over for dinner, we'll have dinner. So no big deal. She left. The next day, it was raining pretty hard, and I got a package, and I didn't feel like going out and get it. She came home from work. She grabbed the package, and I ordered oil of Gilead from the Holy Land. And I'm thinking, well, this is, may as well try all options. She brings the package in, and I started feeling drowsy as usual. And she says, I'm really tired. I says, let's go take a nap. So we're laying in bed, and she puts her head on my chest. I got this really bad headache that went from the back of the head all the way to the top of my head. And I said, I got to get up. I'm not thinking that this could be something. I just blew it off as a headache. I come out and get a cup of coffee. She wakes up about an hour later, and she goes, well, I got to get going. I got to cook dinner. I says, all right, no problem. She goes, oh, what was in the package? I says, oh, I got some oil. You want to try it out? She goes, sure. So I went ahead and opened up the package, and I took my thumb and I dabbed it in there, and I made the sign of the cross on her forehead. And Shannon, JP, her eyes went back to normal. We're talking 3 months of pinpoint eyes. The dog would not go near her for 3 months. So she gives me this big hug, and she looked like the woman that I fell in love with 10 years ago. The dog comes rushing over and gives us this big group hug. She dips her hands in the oil of Gilead, lotions her hands, and rubs some across her lips. Gives me this big kiss and says, I'll see you tomorrow. The next day, about 8 o'clock in the evening, I get a phone call from her son. Well, I texted her that morning. I said, how are you doing? And she sent me same 3 times. Same, same, same. So I got busy with projects because I was feeling like myself and I didn't get a chance to text her. I get a phone call that evening from her son, and she shot herself. And what happened is the deputies came up to go to somebody else's house for a welfare check. And her trailer court is like a little maze. And they saw her sitting out in her truck to ask directions. And she just pulled out her .38 and shot herself in the back of the head. And the exit wound was through the top of her head. Any questions so far?
JP, do you have any questions?
I have a lot of questions. But I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. So, when exactly do you want me just to start? Or
yeah.
Okay. So I've been writing some stuff down. When you said March this started, was that last year, 2020 or 2019?
2019.
Okay. So, I mean, the biggest thing, I think anybody who deals with this stuff has to rationalize is discernment. Which it sounds like you did, because you had thoughts about, is this something mentally, you know, some type of mental illness, which is a good place to start. And then, you know, you said that the voice was saying, well, if I go into a, you know, a place like that, I'm going to kill myself, or I'm going to die, or something like that. You know, was there any more information? Did you push that any more, the mental health issue?
I tried talking to her about it. She kept saying, I says, well, let's go to your primary care. Let's get you on something for anxiety. Because I was noticing the change with less caffeine and less sugar that she was coming back to normal. But the pinpoint eyes wasn't going away.
Right. So the other thing I had thought about was you had mentioned that she had taken some of your medication. Now, I don't know if this was a regular thing or not, and I don't know what medication. You know, and you certainly that's not something you have to share. But certain medications dilate your pupils, specifically opiates. So just putting stuff together like that, obviously the first place I want to start is, okay, is this something, you know, we can rule out? Increased libido, you know, and sugar and tea diet, sleeping with ice packs. You know, this, you know, just the energy being sapped from you sometimes is a reflection of, you're taking care of her. That's normal. The dilated eyes could have been a reaction from something she was taking, like an opiate or something. I don't know. And the fact that she didn't react to, I mean, you know, the Blessed Mother or ingesting holy water. These are all little things that I'm just ticking off. You know, I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just
ruling. Oh, no. I was baffled too.
yeah. No, I mean, it's crazy. You know, the Father Gregory, you know, he was always struggling with discernment because it's the biggest. I mean, you said it. If you were to call a priest, they have to do a mental evaluation and a physical evaluation. They have to, you know, go see their primary care physician. They send them out to mental evaluation. And then the church brings in their own physician and their own mental health, you know, right, workers. So it's really like they try to make it as foolproof as possible. And then, of course, an exorcism is a last resort. But, you know, some of the other things, you know, it's really hard, Jim, because it could go either way. You know, I mean, everything I just said is also symptomatic of someone who's maybe not fully possessed. Maybe, like she said, targeted. Maybe there's a little bit of, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe it's one foot in, one foot out type of thing. I mean, the voices in the head, that's kind of classic.
Right.
I mean, also the increased libido I thought was interesting. You know, that's something generally I would associate with this type of, you know, maybe a demonic type of siege as opposed to a mental health issue. If I were going to weigh them both on a scale, you know, and put one thing over here, put one thing over there. But again, it's really hard to do that because they all could, I mean, really, possession mimics mental health. It's just a mental health issue. It just does. And I think that's why so many people, you know, either don't believe it or don't believe in it, or, you know, it's hard sometimes without actually seeing the person. I mean, certainly from my own experience, I've only met one person that I really, really thought was possessed. And that individual had a very, very strong reaction to Blessed Ashes. And to me, that was one thing that happened during the half hour that her and I talked. But I mean, it was jarring. It was jarring, and it affected me. So, you know, when you talk about your energy being sapped, and she was living with you, so I had one run in for a half an hour with someone that I strongly believe was possessed, and it messed me up for a good 6 months. You know, I wasn't the same. So I can't imagine, you know, how much it really sapped the energy out of you. So that definitely is cause for concern. You know, I know I've said in the past that anyone can do an exorcism. You know, that's certainly not my advice. That's the advice of the church.
That was last resort. That was, yeah, like, and I believe, come on, baby, yeah, show me something.
Yeah. And I don't think I would have acted any different, to be honest with you. Even, you know, when you were talking about putting the medal of the Blessed Virgin in her hand, and then she's like, oh, you want me to burn it? And then you're saying to yourself, well, do I give it back to her? You know, and yeah. I had my mic muted, and I was like, yes, but that's, you know, that's me, you know, I mean, that's not, I'm not in the moment, you know, but I mean, that's me too, as I guess a theologian. It's like, okay, you know, let's, yeah. But then again, I've never dealt with this with a loved one, which is, I would imagine, has to add a complete dimension to this that I haven't dealt with, you know, so I don't know. It sounds like I have some obvious sensitivity to, you know, this type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded like at the beginning you might have had some type of, I don't know. I wouldn't go so far to call it a telekinetic link, but I mean, you said with the whole Sadie thing and the dog, and you're out in the barn, and, you know, so you sounded like you had a pretty deep connection.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
So, you know, it wouldn't surprised me that whatever was going on with her affected you in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that is something that I'd be interested in hearing, because, you know, certainly you're going to pay attention to what's going on with her. But, you know, was there, other than just being really tired and sapped with energy, I'm curious if there was anything going on in your life that, you know, over the past year or so, you've been able to sit back and say, oh yeah, you know, I was really messed up too, you know?
Well, that's one thing that hit me this morning. Oh, we had a power outage, and the people that owned the house before us had a hookup for a generator. This house has the digital output for your house, your electric box. So what I do is I give it about a half hour to give the local power company to get the power back on. I go out and look and make sure that I have no power going to the house. I kill the main and I go hook up my generator. Normally, that's how it works. During this whole thing, I go out, hook up my generator, made sure the power was off to the house so there would be no feedback, because feedback is bad, bad, bad. I turned a key to the generator. All of a sudden, it looked like a 4th of July fireworks display. Now I have a $1,700 paperweight in my backyard. The damn thing almost caught fire.
Wow.
The dog refused to go into that room up until I didn't get to the part where I went and saw a psychic. Every time I contacted Shannon, there were strange things that happened. Amy wrote me a note that said, things I love about Jimmy. And she gave me two of them. I burned both of them. After the first message I sent Shannon, I found one in the tablet I'm looking at off of talking to you guys. And I emailed a copy to Shannon. I'm like, I can't believe this. So the next time I contact Shannon, I wake up the next morning, and we have very low speed DSL out here, 1.5 megabytes per second. So we have the little filter that goes to the phone. The phone in a bedroom has the filter on it. the phone line itself was actually put on to the, not the phone side, but the DSL side of the filter. I only go over there to get my underwear, socks, and t-shirts out of there. I don't go to that side of the room that often. That happened the second time I contacted Shannon. Another time I contacted her, I'm up in the Great Smoky Mountains. I'm outside smoking, and I heard an owl. I'm up on a mountaintop. I have two neighbors that I can see. I hear an owl, regular owl, hooting. And then I hear something going, hoot, hoot, hoot. And I'm like, oh, come on. So I made it a habit only to contact Shan when I expected crazy stuff to happen the next day. So yeah, like you said, strange stuff has been happening in the past year.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially when you're reaching out to Shannon to maybe unload some of this stuff.
Well, yeah, and you know, I will get the silliest, stupidest emails in my inbox that are obviously spam, but yet Jim stuff was really going into my spam folder. And I'm like, what is going on? But you know, with this kind of stuff, never Bigfoot. I've said it before. Never Bigfoot or cryptids. It's always this kind of stuff that will have these weird tech issues.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was reading the email and I didn't quite get the inside joke about the emails going into the spam monster, but now I do because that's trippy and it is weird how it happens. You know, certainly Jim, you're not the first one to have that type of stuff happen. I can remember talking about my little story and I think the first time I called MAU, the connection was so bad. I think they had to make a joke about gremlins.
Yeah.
So bad, you know. But so you mentioned that Mamie was into the pendulum and numerology and stuff like that. How far did she take that stuff?
She kind of dropped the book. She had the numerology book and actually, one Mother's Day, I got her a new one because pages were falling out. The pendulum, I didn't see it for the longest time before we were separated. And it wasn't that I was taken aback by her bringing it up again after we were separated, that whole March thing about CERN. But, you know, I figured, well, hell, we're almost divorced. Go ahead, do what you want to. But, you know, sometimes when she really started it, she was into it daily. You know?
Yeah, so it's more than a hobby. Kind of like a way of life almost. So that's significant, I think. You know, certainly anybody, I'm not saying it's bad. Certainly there are some Catholic churches who don't really like numerology and tarot cards and psychics and things like that. And, I mean, the bishops and stuff like that. It's hard. The Catholic Church is constantly changing its ideas and opinions on you know what they want, what they, you know, and that's fine actually. I mean, doctors and lawyers practice, right? I've always been told that priests and everyone else, they have to practice as well. And you know, you learn new things and you got to change. That's why some of the other sola scriptura religions that are just, nope, this is the book, we're sticking to it. You know, there's some rigidity there that, you know, some people like that. They find that comfortable. But the flexibility of Catholicism, which is not something you hear very often. I don't think people put flexibility in Catholicism in the same sentence. But it's there. It's there. I think that's why, you know, when we look at things like this, we can... You know, we can go outside of the scripture because we have to. I mean, you were talking about the litany of the saints, and I mean, there's so many of them, and there's so many, you know, right? I mean, good books, and just written by, you know, like Augustine and Martyr and Chrysostom and all these guys, you know, the church fathers. You know, those books have, I think, they carry quite a bit of weight when it comes to this type of stuff, you know, which is good. It's good. We have a lot of sources to draw from. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to things like tarot cards and numerology and, you know, I mean, people can sometimes, I don't know, kind of get lost in that. You know, if I guess if you're doing it I don't know. Sometimes if you have a like a morbid curiosity with it, as opposed to, you know, just maybe a playful curiosity, I think sometimes it can get out of hand.
Like that intention that you talk about, JP, right? The intention behind it.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. So the intentions, right? You know, it's if you go at it with the intention of like, okay, you know, I'm going to be a psychic. I'm going to go talk to dead people. I'm going to go see a psychic. And, you know, maybe that's not the way to approach it. Whereas I know some people who do tarot cards and things like that, and they don't have an agenda or a goal. They just say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I know lots of people who are all of a sudden, hey, I opened up a store, you know, doing tarot reading. Oh, cool. I didn't know you could do that. Oh, neither did I. Okay.
You know, surprise, it's kind of
like an innate ability that maybe we all have. People have told me that before, that it's something we do all have, whether or not we work on it. I guess it can be like a muscle. Yep. So someone like her who's working on it and dabbling in other things, depending on her intentions, it could certainly be a doorway. I mean, just talking like this can be a doorway. If something as simple as communicating through, you know, the internet and the telephone, it can allow things to creep in, then certainly those types of new age hobbies can be doorways. And I do find it extremely interesting that she was talking to Stuart Swerdlow about Montauk. And I don't know how to take that. You know, is that go on the mental health side of the scale, or does that go on the, you know, morbid curiosity possession side of the scale, you know?
Well, that was the crazy – oops, sorry. Knocked off my headphones. That was the crazy part because he wouldn't – she was asking him to help break the connection because she was still under the impression that she was being targeted.
Yeah.
So she's asking him to help break the connection because of all the work he did with Montauk. And all he's telling her is that you can do it yourself. Amy, you can, you know, break this connection yourself. So she buys this package of colored markers, and he's saying, focus on this color for this chakra. So she's sitting out on a deck smoking away, drawing circles with her chakra, and then she's drawing pictures. And, you know, focus on this picture. This will help you out. But you know what, Amy? I can tell you that if you send me $300, I can tell you somewhat why this is happening. So he gave her like a personality profile.
And did he ask for money?
Yeah, he asked for money.
Mm. Oh,
so
okay. That's weird.
He goes, she gets her personality profile, and I says, you could have gave me the $300 and I could have told you the same shite. Because I said, it's helping you. It's not guy. Because he's telling you can fix it yourself, and you're still the same. Your eyes are still pinpoint. Yeah, your personality's coming back, but it's not doing anything for you.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's frustrating for you. I mean, you're there. You're living with her. You're helping her on a day-to-day basis. So that must have been extremely frustrating for you. Yeah.
I kind of made fun of it at one point about the libido. She was really into she was into Mexican food. And I said, so you're telling me that you're eating the best taco in the world and you're not going to share with me. And she started busting up laughing. I says, yeah, why don't you share that best taco? She's like, no, if I do, it'll take my soul completely. I says, ooh, good. She mentioned it'll take my soul completely. And it was that back and forth. Is it targeted? Is it mental health? Is it a possession? You did mention about another strange thing that did happen, and I did send Shannon a picture of this. Like I mentioned earlier in the chat, I burn firewood here. And in front of one of the wood racks, I'm over there constantly in the beginning of the season getting firewood. So in August, one of the things I did was pressure wash the deck to get rid of cell. After I got done pressure washing, I just happened to look down, and there was a perfectly shaped heart that looked like it was engraved in the wood and from the wood stack that I, for the past 4 years, that I walked back and forth of stacking wood unstacking wood. Do you get what I'm saying? I put a lot of foot traffic there and never noticed that damn heart until after she passed away. Huh. The heart is used in numerology a lot. She told me I'm a 6 and 8 of hearts, and I'm surprised I remember that stuff. But, Shannon has a picture.
Well, what does the heart mean in numerology? I mean, is it any different than what we would think that it would mean?
It means you're more of a compassionate and caring person. The 8, I know your listeners are probably going to make more of a comment. I didn't study numerology. I'm just trying to remember all she told me. Mm. But it means that you're more of a passionate person, that kind of thing.
JP, something I wanted to run by you, because he talked about the fact that he did attempt the rite of exorcism. He did the holy water drops and her drinks. He had her try to execute the Lord's Prayer, which she couldn't get through. But, you know, that could just be her forgetting, or like you said, you just kind of have to have a skeptical mind for all of that kind of stuff. But this whole oil of Gilead thing, and then it clearing up her pupils after a 3-month period. I mean, in your mind, then does that in fact put more weight behind the fact that there could have been a possession sort of a situation going on?
Yeah, that one is tricky, Shannon, with the hard questions. But yeah, no, it's one of those things where the other stuff, I'm kind of at a loss as to why it didn't have an effect, especially ingesting holy water. I mean, that's highly uncommon. Priests do it before the Eucharist. They actually put a little drop of it in their wine. You know, they don't give it to the congregation. That's the only time. I mean, I've done it. I've tried it. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, we know you're good then.
Yeah, right. But things like that, even the medallion, the sign of the cross, the Lord's Prayer, that one's not being able to say that. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I guess to answer your question, Shannon, that way, I would certainly lump those over on the side of the scale that says this is legitimate, because I don't have an answer for the oil of Gilead. Where did you get that, by the way?
Amazon.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Was it the Amazon's choice? Because it sure as heck fire worked. I mean, my goodness. I wasn't expecting that with the whole... I mean, after 3 months straight, the pupils go back to normal. Like, whoa.
I forgot. I'm sorry, Amazon gods. Please forgive me. Jeff Bezos, don't send your hit squad.
A bunch of drones.
Yeah. What's that buzzing sound? I'm getting feedback.
Well, that's the one thing that, you know, had me... thanks for bringing that up, Shannon. That's one thing that had me confused about the targeting. Because usually people in, you know, high military places, people in high industry, you know, CEOs that have trade secrets usually are targeted. The best part is our people place. You get what I'm saying? And her internet, as a matter of fact, was out when she came to me. And I'm like, how are you being targeted? Yeah, the government does use satellites for this sort of thing. But she says, the reason why I'm coming to you is because you know a lot about all this stuff and you're the only one I could trust. I'm like, oh, gee, thanks. Great. Let's rock. But I couldn't figure out how she was being targeted, because we have really bad cell phone reception here. Yeah, I do have satellite TV, and it comes in clear, so satellites can be used. But if they're using any other means, they got better internet than I do, and I'm pretty pissed.
Yeah, they won't share. What's up with them?
That ain't nice.
Well, and, you know, we're kind of giggling, and I'm not trying to make light of this at all, because, first of all,
you got to.
So, I know, and you're actually... you've got a good head on your shoulders. JP and I could tell that before we even spoke to you, just by the way your emails are and everything. And, you know, you're getting through this, you know, the best way that you know how, and you're doing well. And we're very sorry about Amy, by the way. We are giggling and laughing about Amazon's choice and all that, but it's a very sad and serious story. And I wanted to ask you something. And if it's inappropriate or if it's, you know, just it's graphic to think about anyway, just stop me. I have no problem with being shut down, especially for this subject. But you mentioned that she shot herself in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is not an impossible thing to do. I realize that. But right. It does seem maybe just at the very least slightly odd to choose that position. If mm-hmm. you know what I'm kind of getting at.
Yes.
And not again that this is impossible. Plenty of women, again, so I'm sorry guys for this kind of vernacular, but plenty of women will just end it by shooting themselves. But, you know, statistically speaking, they say that women prefer to take pills, which she had exactly. already tried to do.
Or she thought she did.
Right, right. She thought she did or said she tried. I just, the whole back of the head thing kind of has me thrown for a loop slightly, I guess. And again, it's not an impossible angle to do yourself. But do you think that that's strange? Did the cops maybe say anything at all? I don't know. I mean, what's your thoughts on that part of the story?
Well, I think maybe she was kind of thinking of the viewing if she had a moment of clarity. Is she, how am I going to look after I go? It was a 38 caliber snub nose. So how am I going to look when I'm laid out? Because I thought about that.
Yeah.
And it kind of did, it traveled the same trajectory as what I felt the freaking headache, and I didn't put two and two together.
Mm.
Which upset me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's intense. You know, I mean, I guess if I were thinking about it, in, you know, she may have had a moment of clarity there, right? You know, I don't know. Did you ever maybe think that that's where she was feeling the presence, so to speak?
The voices? Yeah, yeah. That's one thing too. You know,
that's kind of what popped into my head during the story. You know, I have stuff to talk about, obviously. I'm glad Shannon brought it up. But yeah, I mean, just the nature in which she did it, as opposed to like statistical saying. But statistics are, you know, not always, you know, we know that. Yeah, I'm sure you thought a lot of things. You know, I'm sure a lot of things went through your head at that point in time. But yeah.
Jim, the oil was the very day before.
Yeah, it was. It, and when she said, "I'll see you tomorrow," I'm like, maybe I just gotta, every time I see you, make the sign of the cross and put anointing oil so I can have you back.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and let's say she was targeted and it wasn't a possession, regardless of the DSL and all this other, you know, however they could get to her, maybe they could. I mean, right. I'm sure, again, like JP said, I'm sure a lot of things have crossed her mind as far as those final moments and her decision. Have you thought about, you know, maybe they told her to do that, or they were just tormenting her and saying maybe something or some things over and over and over. She just maybe couldn't take it anymore and didn't even really want to do it, but just had to stop the voices.
Yeah, I kind of got into that with when I talked to the psychic, that he did bring that up, that, you know, the voices have stopped and she's at peace now. She was saying a couple of times that the voices are telling me that I'm going to die over the weekend. And I'm like, okay, we'll see about that. Because I started getting upset about the voices talk. I said, you talk to me, don't worry about what they're saying to you. And the weekend would go by and I'm like, see, nothing happened to you. She says, you're going to end up shooting me by the end of the weekend. So I collected up my little friends. And I put him in my truck, and I locked up my truck while she was at work, so she wouldn't know where anything was. Mm. And I carried my truck key on me, and I only had one key for the truck. And we got through the weekend, and I said, see, nothing happened. There was another thing that happened that she told me this story, and I have no proof of it. Before she came back, her son and his girlfriend were living with her at their trailer. She was taking a nap, and there was an alarm went off. And it was supposed to be a 50-50, let's split everything between her and her son for paying for everything in the house. She went to go find the alarm, and the alarm was set in her son's closet. And the voice says, look down. And she looked down, there was a stack of cash there. And the voice says, they've been hoarding on you and not paying everything. So, is that a true story? I don't know. But she said that's one example of it telling her the truth about something. I can't back that up because I wasn't there. You get what I'm saying?
Now, did she think that this was, in fact, you know, some sort of a demon or something satanic? Or did she feel like the voices were people? Were these kind of implants for targeted individuals?
That's apparently what she was saying it was, but sometimes the voice would call itself Satan as a joke, she said.
And did, sorry, JP.
Sorry, I might have. Did she say it was a joke? Did she? Is that the way that she interpreted it? Was
that's the way she interpreted it?
I mean, I think I've said this before. I don't being possessed by Satan is extremely rare. If it's ever happened, I don't.
Yeah.
Think, I mean, yeah. You know, usually it's a far lesser entity, but a lot of people do say that, you know, they give the name of a much higher entity when the priest asks them to name themselves or something like that. But the other thing too is that, you know, when you talk about demonology, demons aren't necessarily, I guess, this is weird. They are inherently evil, but they don't always do evil things, if you can know what I'm saying. So like
right.
Her finding the money is something that, if that happened, is consistent with some type of demonic attack, if that's what was going on. Because lots of, just from reading that I have done, are really, if you wanted to summon one, for example, lots of people do it for the truth. They want to know the truth. And there are several, maybe more, dozens of high-level demons that only speak truth. They are incapable of lying. So it's always been interesting, because we've talked about the different levels and the different types of demons, the incubi, succubi, clean demons, you know, the demons that can't lie, demons that always lie. And you know this if they make themselves known. So I don't think that the outcome in that sense, yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say in a long roundabout way, it is consistent with some type of demonic attack. Yeah.
JP, okay, so we have talked many a times about, maybe especially during the rite of exorcism, that the person won't, it's not a vomiting up of glass or nails. It will appear in their mouth and then they spit it out, right? So you're saying that the same could be for the stack of cash that Amy found?
No. I think that's different.
Okay.
With regards to the physical war. So, yeah, when it comes to the individual, like we talked about vomiting up a toad or nails.
Yeah, and not that I meant that it came out of her mouth. I just mean, like, they apport something like that into a physical space?
I've never heard of that. I've just heard of, like things from the body, so to speak. I've never heard of something in the physical world being placed there, but I think it was there. If the story is true, I tend to believe it was probably there. But, you know, whatever was, if something was working within her, it probably told her where to find it and how to find it.
Right.
As opposed to manifesting it, I guess. I just haven't heard any stories of something like that. Not saying it's possible. I mean, I guess anything is kind of possible when you talk about this stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad. No cash for us, huh? Those little,
I know,
those little bastard demons.
I'll take a demon. Just tell me where the cash is.
Forget the glass and the nails. You know, we're not trying to build stuff. We need some cash flow. That'd be fine with me.
I don't want to throw up a toad.
Yeah, that would be really unpleasant. The whole toad in your mouth thing. I think I'm good on that.
That's fine.
I may actually take a spider over some instances than that, but yeah.
Oh, God.
Very few instances, by the way.
Well, I mean, it's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, the whole story of King Solomon, right, and him raising the 72 demons, he, according to the story, he did that for information. He did that for knowledge. He did that for wisdom. So, you know, where's the gold? You know, where's the cash? You know, and like I said, some demons, they can't lie. Okay, you got to tell them. Okay, now you're banished. Move on to the next demon. You know, so, I mean, over history, all these things, there's examples of all this stuff that was happening with Amy. There's examples of this stuff, you know, written throughout history and even in, you know, modern studies of demonology. So, you know, when it comes to discernment again, it's really hard to say, you know, was this something pushing back? You know, like she said, was she targeted? Is something pushing back from a bad spot? Or was this something mentally health related? Jim, I did want to mention, you said that her son moved in with you guys, right, when you were married?
Yeah.
And yeah. You said that didn't go well at all.
No.
So, and then you mentioned that she was with the son again and that maybe he was skimming money. If you want, if you can, how much of an impact did he have on her life?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Negative in your opinion?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it seemed to put a lot of pressure on you and your relationship, obviously.
He was the total opposite of me. Like I said, I'm a disabled veteran. I don't care how bad I'm hurt, and I'm going to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
When he moved in, he was 26. So you had to beg, plead, and pry to get him to do stuff, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, if you introduce another individual into the situation, sometimes it just makes it a heck of a lot worse. I mean, as far as you know, was he into the similar things? Like
No. That was the crazy thing, because I got interviewed by the sheriffs.
And, yeah.
He said, I knew it was that Ouija board shit. Hmm. And when the sheriff spoke up, after telling the story, and he says, yeah, my daughter went, and I'm trying to tell him it's like a Ouija board, but it's not a Ouija board. And when the sheriff spoke up and said, well, my daughter tried to get a Ouija board and I put the kibosh on that. I'm like, well, good for you. And then at the end, I says, look, if you guys ever run into any weird stuff around here that's like this, you got my number. Feel free to give me a call.
Mm.
Because, you know, I can help you somewhat, maybe make sense of it.
Yeah.
You know, it stuff like this doesn't happen all the time. You know?
No. Unfortunately, when it does happen, the results, I don't know, that they can be like a lot similar, which is terrible, you know. Mm-hmm. Who said that that Ouija board crap? But did the son say that or the sheriff?
Mm-hmm.
The son did.
That was his son.
Huh. So he knew what was going on.
Yeah, because he was living with her the entire time.
Yeah. And what did he think of it?
He didn't like it that much.
Yeah.
You know, because she was back to planning the day by it.
Right.
You know, instead of going with the flow.
So when these signs and symptoms of possession were starting to manifest, was the son noticing them as well? I mean, I know you didn't necessarily. Did you ever talk to him about it?
No. After the what happened between her and I really didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because okay. I wanted to get into the talk with Jim Hunt.
Okay, go right ahead.
Psychic. Yeah.
All right. So I listen, like you said, we both listened to Astonishing Legends, painting the one room. And I heard Jim Hunt on Astonishing Legends. And they had to bleep him a few times. And I'm like, that's the kind of psychic I want to talk to. That has to be bleeped while he's talking. That's my kind of guy. Because, you know, I don't want the fanciful, she's with God. I want to know exactly what's going on. So I called and made an internet counseling appointment. And what I did to kind of test him, I went up into the craft room where Sadie was kicked just to see if he got any feelings. You know, I have a very low internet presence, so there was no way he could have gone ahead and done any searching and saw, you know, Amy passed away. We're sorry to hear about that. You get what I'm saying? you know, just to make sure that there isn't anything that he could have pre-researched before our talk. He gets online and he looks at me and goes, "Tell me what happened with Amy." And I'm like, "All right." So I told him the story and he starts shaking his head. He goes, "Jim, that was a demonic possession." I said, "Yeah, but why didn't it show itself throughout the whole thing? Why didn't it react to that, the holy water?" Now, this is going by what he said. He tells me that was more or less like piss. That holy water didn't have anything because that was an older demon that you were dealing with. He said that he found her roaming around her property and she was humming. Well, one thing that she had a habit of doing is no matter she was cooking, she was humming something. She was cleaning, she was humming something. So as soon as he said that, I knew he was talking about her. You know, I didn't make any like surprise gestures or, "Oh my God, I can't believe he just said that." I knew he was talking about Amy. He says, "I'm going to guide her to where she should be now." And then he says, "Wow, this room is really dark. I'm going to clear it out for you." And the room seemed to lighten up a little bit. But after the whole conversation, I called the dog up in the room. Now, before, I couldn't even bribe her up there with a treat because something was in there that she did not like. She went into the room. She laid down and rolled over for me to scratch her belly. And that kind of proved to me that he was legitimate. He was telling the truth. And, you know, I'm really grateful for talking to that guy because maybe it was a demonic possession. All I know is she's at peace now, you know, and I feel better that he did help her cross over. And she's not wondering like she was, walking around humming a song that she couldn't get out of her head. You were asking about other strange stuff. She was the painter. I begrudgingly paint. I know how to paint walls and ceilings and stuff. Every time I painted two rooms and a hallway since she's been gone. Every time that has happened, I've had a paint mishap. I've had either the tray flip over and hit the ground or something bizarre. I accidentally painted, the dog accidentally got painted because the paint tray fell off the ladder. So I told her, when I was done with the hallway, that I was done painting. You know, you can have the rest of the painting to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing with the dog being what you perceived as kicked, and then it wouldn't go back in the room, and then the loud popping while you were in the bathroom. I mean, you were the only one in the house. So what happened to the dog? That's some sort of an outside force from what it seems, you know, from what you're saying.
It was weird that it presented itself when she was going through this. That's what threw me off.
Well, yeah, and that's a little different than maybe a mind control situation. You know, that's why it's like there's some of the stuff that needs to go in the column of possible targeted individual, mind control, mental illness, and then of course, possession type stuff. It's so difficult because each little piece is polar opposite of the next one.
Right. I never sensed anything in here since we moved in. I never had any issues. You know, nothing strange, no lights popping and them being on. I mean, it sounded like a whole case of light bulbs burst. Thank God I just got done going to the bathroom. I would have had a need for those brown pants.
You have been listening to ITF, haven't you? You've mentioned the brown pants, my friend.
Just a little.
Well, yeah,
I like that you have such a good head on your shoulders, Jim.
Thanks.
Especially, you know, just military service and you know, I don't know why, but people generally from that background have the more succinct way of explaining things. So, yeah, it's very easy to listen to your story. But, you know, and this is, I guess this is hard to say, maybe hard to hear, but, you know, when you do break it all down, right, mental illness, some type of an implant, demonic possession. Yeah, they are different, but I guess they present so similarly. And really, the end result is the same.
Yep.
Or it can be, you know, so that, yep, that makes it even that much more harder. I mean, certainly mental illness can lead to ending one's life, you know, I mean, and that's the goal of demonic possession. That's the goal. You know, there's no really, I mean, despite how many levels of demonology and different types of demons there are, there's one thing that I think everybody almost agrees on, is that the end result is the full integration of the demon in the spirit, or in the soul, rather. And that's really unfortunate that all three of these have the same end game. And, you know, so they're similar and dissimilar at the same time. It's kind of a strange thing. In your story about the psychic there, it's pretty intense. He just came right out and said, "What happened to Amy?" Like, no,
yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah. That's intense.
Now, when you make an appointment with someone like that, what do they ask you? Just your name and your phone number, and that's it?
Name, phone number, and what else was there? When you're available.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So no really, like, background information, deep stuff like that, or intentions? Or...
All I put in is just questions about the troubles I'm having in life.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I didn't open any doors.
Maybe my emails that I wasn't getting from you actually went to Jim, and he already had the whole story. Busted Jim. Just kidding.
No, actually, Shane, I started emailing you November, and that was July.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I had to think about that for a second. I'm like, wait, did that happen?
Yeah, not that you did it. I'm just saying the gremlins, just like JP brought up, did it. Yeah. It's those darn gremlins, man. They get you every time.
Crumb looking thing that JP saw.
Oh,
you know, I was starting to think that might be a puck wedgie. I don't know why.
That little bastard. Tell you what.
I'm done with that.
Jim, was there anything else that you needed to cover? And if not, I don't really have any more questions. But if JP did, of course, I can give him the floor. But if you had anything else to share about this.
I did send you a copy of the note that we found afterwards, right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And I think I forwarded all of it to JP. It was the weirdest thing, honest to God. It wasn't just you trying to get a hold of me. I, even just 2 days ago when I was starting to print all this stuff up and I was forwarding everything to JP, I was having trouble, and I had both the email addresses that you utilized. My search engine on Gmail wasn't even finding everything. And I would have to look in every nook and cranny to find all this stuff. Anyhow, yeah, it's a bunch of weird stuff going on. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, how she began that note with, I forget how it went, but something about my soul belongs to my creator. You know, that threw me off a little bit. Where... I think towards the end, she was realizing that maybe it wasn't a target, you know. But it was strange how you were saying about the technology aspects that, or the problems that you've been having since we've been talking. When I started trying to get a hold of Clyde, Dr. Hall, Sister Carrie Berner, all of them, it was like their contact me pages were gone. That was really odd. From the very beginning, it's like I couldn't get a hold of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about you two at that point.
Well, that's why I'm recording this in two different locations, just in case.
JP, are you recording it too, just to make sure?
Actually, it automatically records.
he's using the Amalto probably like I am. And it'll just automatically record. So we are triple covered. If it goes after triple coverage, then that's maybe something. I need to retire and just be done with this. Because that is freaky.
No, don't retire. It's too much fun.
It is. Yes. It is.
I mean, honestly, I've been watching the background of Jim's camera just to make sure. Just have my eye in the background, expecting to have see a shadow figure come walking.
You know, it's really weird that you mentioned that because I noticed something earlier and I actually filmed it. For everybody listening, Jim's got his camera on, but JP and I do not. I noticed, JP, look at the screen there, okay? And off Jim's right our left, there's the door, and it looks like maybe a lamp or something. I think that it's just a reflection or something of the fan. But earlier, it was doing this weird, like, it looked like a ghost cat or something, like, cleaning itself. I actually was filming it earlier because it freaked me out a little bit. I was like, what is going on back there? But I think it's just the fan.
I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's still it's kind of still doing it, but now it looks more like just the reflection. But anyhow, you just never know with this stuff. So that's why I was like, I'm going to record in a couple different places because it has happened before. In fact, the one that I remember, I actually lost it. And this is weird. I completely lost the interview. It was gone right after we hung up. Was the one that was the I remember this number. 85. Right, was the unfounded call episode.
Okay.
Yeah, the sheriff's deputy sees a shadow and then he loses the time. That. It was gone. But the weird thing is, it came back 2 hours later. That's just not a thing that's not what computers do, you know?
Unlike his papers.
Yes, just like his, exactly, too, just like his walking papers.
Hmm? You said you burned the note, right?
I burned both of the notes.
And then the note appeared on a piece of paper or it appeared on the.
Since you guys can see out of this tablet.
That's insane.
Wow.
Because when you said tablet, I immediately thought, okay, computer tablet.
Right. Maybe.
But then, no, that's a legal pad. Okay. Just because I know we're recording here, not videotaping. So now that makes complete sense to me. Now that's insane.
I even wrote the timeline. What is this? Timeline take 3. I wrote that timeline out 3 times. Mm. I took it throughout the house. The note would have fallen out.
Sure.
Inside, outside. I don't smoke in the house. This is the first time I did. Okay. Because I didn't want to take a break and screw things up. But taking this thing outside and the paper's blown, I would have seen that note.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's a head scratcher for sure. You know, I mean, one thing that I wrote down at the very beginning, and I wouldn't be doing my fellow theologians justice if I didn't ask about the goats. Did anything weird happen with the goats?
Goats?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, they're just such a big symbol of demonology. You know, I just got to ask. I mean, you said you had several of them. So the first thing I was thinking was like, oh.
None are named Black Philip or anything.
Right? No.
That's immediately what I was thinking. I mean, you had your little telekinetic encounter while you were in the goat pen. And I was thinking, oh, is this going to end here? Or is this going to magnify? But that's as far as it went. So,
no,
you know.
We only lost. We lost a couple due to worms and a couple due to childbirth. But other than that, nothing strange with the goats.
Yeah.
There were a few loud screams while we were there. So we were in the big hairy guy territory then too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You said you had them mimicking an owl very badly, right? Like, it was just laughable. He's going to hoot, hoot.
That is yes. That was here. I'll get into the other crazy stuff I've heard here later if you want.
It sounds like we need to go to your place and go Bigfooting.
Seriously.
Yes. Yes.
Go outside and go hoot, hoot, hoot.
That's just so funny.
That's great. And you've heard that before, you know. You're kind of going, you're not even trying. Like, you're just being so lazy. What the hell?
Come on, try harder.
Yeah, hoot. What do you mean hoot?
What do you mean hoot? Step your game up, Bigfoot.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, my God. I mean, honestly, though, if I were to, my mind has been kind of going back and forth during this whole conversation. I mean, if I were to put it in a basket and wrap it up at the end, I would say I'm leaning more towards something possession related now than I was at the beginning. And part of that is just because of the progression of a story. You know, like any story, things tend to look like what we're familiar with, like mental health issues. Those are things that are familiar to people. And then as you start going on and talking about it, and then you bring up the stuff that happened afterwards, the note and the psychic and, you know, then it starts to add a little bit more credence to, okay, maybe there was some type of demonic entity that, you know, maybe it wasn't full on possession. There certainly have been cases. Right. Yeah, there's certainly been cases where, you know, I've talked to Shannon about people who have been possessed for 40 years and they go get exorcisms every Sunday. The demon doesn't leave. Right. It just sticks around for whatever reason. I don't know if, you know, the priest couldn't. I mean, I think that was Gabriel Amorth, who's since passed, and he was like the most powerful exorcist, or the most well-known, I shouldn't say the most powerful, in Italy at the time. He used to see people for 20, 30, 40 years. And I mean, if he can't get rid of it, I don't know. Well, I say he, actually God's the one who gets rid of him. Yeah. So, you know, and it's really tragic how these things sometimes turn out untreated and treated. I mean, we've all heard stories of exorcisms going south. You know, I just heard one recently, I think, where a couple of people were claiming to do their own exorcism, and I think someone passed away as a result of their actions directly. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, I'm leaning more towards, yeah, you know, I think given the amount of stuff, like I said, the note and what the psychic said and the dog going back into the room after not going into the room, and, you know, just the other aspects of your story, it's kind of hard to say, you know, even though the holy water didn't work and the charm didn't work, the Blessed Mother, you know, the oil did.
Yeah.
You know, the sign of the cross did, you know.
So, yeah, except that, yeah. And, you know, and not to make this harder than it already is, but if you hadn't used the oil, would she still be here? Why the timing of that is extremely strange. Yeah. Could be nothing. It's like the second she was cleared, it was just, but what happened after that? What happened to her after that?
I don't, you know, I go through that. I keep wondering, well, what would have happened if I would have used the oil and kept her here?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. Because that drives me nuts.
I'm sure this drives you nuts.
Think about that almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not that I'm saying, you know, like, you did it, Jim. Right, I'm just, right, I mean, right. You were doing everything you could to help her. And it, I mean, it worked, right? Cleared her eyes up. The dog wanted to have her pet him again. I just, what in the hell happened after that?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly did all you could, and I'll just go ahead and echo what Shannon was saying, because, you know, at first it's like, ooh, if that, did that work? And Jim, I think you said maybe she had a moment of clarity, you know, was she having a moment of clarity, and was it just abject fear at that point of, oh, you know, I don't want to, for lack of a better word, to go back to, you know, being a target. I'm sure you've gone through all this stuff, and I'm sure you've thought of that too. But, you know, that's the first thing I thought of was, well, maybe she did have a moment of peace and solidarity. I mean, of peace and quiet. And yeah, I don't know.
One of the things the sheriffs brought up to me, they said, did she have a fear of cops? And I says, well, if she did, she hit it pretty well for 10 years because I worked in law enforcement for 8, but that was before she met me.
Right.
My dad's a retired cop. You know, we don't walk around acting like it all the time. I said, as a matter of fact, Cinco de Mayo, we went out for dinner, and during the pandemic, it was like a drive-through style at the restaurant.
Sure.
And as we're driving into town, we lost a local rescue worker trying to save somebody that went over waterfalls. So they had sheriff's cars and local police departments and state cops at each traffic light coming into town. And they were going to stop traffic for the funeral procession for the rescuer. Well, if she was going to freak out because of the police, she would have had a major panic attack right then and there, because every traffic light we went past, there was a cop car.
Yeah. Why do you think the sheriff said that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's a strange question to ask.
Well, when the deputies walked up to her to ask for directions, that's when she pulled out her gun and shot herself.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you guys may have missed that.
I thought she was alone. I apologize. No. I guess I did miss that.
That's okay. Yeah.
I missed that too. That's,
yeah. Mm. So I feel bad for those guys. You know,
yeah, they're gonna, mm-hmm. yeah.
It was actually somebody was going to be involuntarily committed in somewhere around their trailer park. And they couldn't find the address, and they went up to ask her, and she did what she did.
Oh, my gosh. It wasn't even about her.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Now, that's the funny thing.
Wow.
Her son hasn't... He called me a while ago to say we're going to go get the property, which her phone was on the evidence list. But I'd love to see who the last person she called was. To see if she's the one that called them, or it made her call them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who actually made that call? You know, were the deputies making that story up to make us feel better about the situation? You know, who knows? It's just strange all around how it happened.
Man, so sorry, Jim.
Yeah, that's awful.
She's out of pain now. She's out of
she is.
Trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not, no more fear for her. Because, man, what a hell of a way to live. That's,
mm-hmm.
JP, any more questions for Jim?
I'm sure I could go on for another 3 hours, you know me, but in the interest of brevity, I'll say no.
Well, Jim, you've got a couple friends here. If you need anything, let us know.
Please.
And of course, if anything else happens, get in touch. In several places, though, because it'll likely go into spam or some knows where place. But you have JP's email address, too. So,
yeah. And I'll send you my phone number, too, Jim, if you want to chat more, even on this, because maybe we can get into it more when we're not recording.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can maybe figure out a little bit, you know, because sometimes, even though this is a very casual recording, sometimes it's like, oh, okay. It can be a little intense.
It's different. Yeah. It can be different. That's a great idea.
Later at night with alcohol involved.
There you go.
Know.
That's what I mean.
That's right. little whiskey.
Keep a little note.
Uh-huh. All right, guys.
Right.
Well, Jim, thank you so much. And hey, and obviously, I mean, thanks for reaching out and being like, hey, Shannon, I want to talk to you and JP. That means a lot to us. It really does. Thank you.
Yeah, it means a lot talking to both of you.
That's great. This is the first time we've done this.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool, I think. So I appreciate it, Jim. I appreciate you thinking of me. Certainly now I'll be thinking of you. Hey, you know, you've been through some stuff. Call me anytime. I'll get you my number. Thanks, man.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Well, hey, brave that storm out there, guys, and stay warm, huh?
Yeah.
Go back to shoveling.
All right, boys. Hey, again, Jim, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little fire. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you'll be reincarnated. If you are liberated, you understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it in this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.